Hey, Ray Lo, Shishi Olaf Achalik Tevis, Thursday 25th of December. How about you, Hood the Brody, Parashas Waila?
Evening, everyone, and thank you very much, Lily, for this opportunity to speak here this evening. Yesterday's Kosher speaker said that his Mamaloshin was Yiddish, and that he finds English a little bit difficult, but Hashem, I think English is my Mamaloshin, Yiddish I'm a bit schwachin. First I'm going in them to the Bessemer module, and therefore I'm going to stick to English and hopefully we can all understand each other. It's very interesting that one of the proofs which those involved in Kiruv bring to something which we take very much for granted, that Torah min HaShemayim, is the fact that if one looks at the so-called sacred books of other religions, there is never even a hint of criticism of the heroes and heroines and leaders, the God figures as they would call them, of the other religions. They're all squeaky clean, nothing wrong, nothing immoral, never do, never step out of line. If we look at the Torah, it's very far from that. And obviously we understand self-explanatory that when we talk about faults and errors and potential mistakes, when we're talking about the Avos, or we're talking about the Shiftei Kor, or we're talking about Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron, we've got to be talking in very relative terms, where Kodesh Baruch is medakdek with tzaddikim kechut hasar, on what to us looks like a gross event. If one looks sometimes in that, and one sees things with David HaMelech and Shlomo HaMelech, which to us look very unsavory, but of course, we've got to take it with Chazal, and once Chazal explained it, it's very different from the way it looked. But nevertheless, the Torah is replete with criticism and so-called errors and faults and mistakes, warts and all. Our heroes come warts and all. One of the mistakes, so to speak, in inverted commas, which we find recorded in the Torah, is at the very, very beginning of Vayera. And that proves the fact that the Torah recalls these things, proves that Torah is min HaShemayim, because if it were man written, of course it would be, the heroes would be perfect and the heroines would be absolutely spot on in every way. People don't write about their own shortcomings, because the Torah is written by Kodesh Baruch Hu, so these so-called faults and criticisms exist. And one of them is at the very, very beginning of Vayera. The Torah starts, the Sefer starts with two very strong words, Vayidaber Elohim and Moshe Vayomer Elav Ani Hashem. And Rashi says right at the very beginning that Kodesh Baruch Hu is speaking Mishpat. Kodesh Baruch Hu is speaking very firmly with Moshe Rabbeinu. How does the Rashi know that? So the Sifsei Chachamim says, well, there's two possible reasons why this is interpreted as being Dvarim Koshim or Divrei Mishpat. First of all, we all know that the word Vayidaber alternates very many times in the Torah with the word Vayomer. And generally speaking, when it fits in with the context, Vayomer is Loshon Racha, Vayomer is a soft expression, and Vayidaber is a hard expression. Now there are many, many, many exceptions to this rule. We've got many parshas that start off with Vayidaber Hashem El Moshe, and Vayomer, and they're interchangeable. Since the Kabbalah says that normally, when you have a parsha which begins by Vayidaber, or a pasuk which begins by Vayidaber, where it's not Devarim Koshim, then it has Leimar at the end, and that softens it. So that's why we often have Vayidaber Hashem El Moshe, Leimar. Vayidaber is a strong Lashon, but the Leimar tempers it and softens it that it's not Devarim Koshim. Here, there is no Leimar in the pasuk. It's Vayidaber Elohim El Moshe, and then there's a second phrase, Vayomer Elav Ani Hashem. There's the Sifsei Chachamim, Vayidaber is a strong Lashon. And secondly, as we all know, that Hashem has more than one name. We have them both in this particular pasuk, but it's Vayidaber Elohim. And Elohim is always a Lashon Kosher. The reason why Rashi uses a Lashon of Mishpat is because, as we know, the word Elohim can also mean a judge. And therefore, it's Divrei Mishpat. So Hashem is speaking strongly here in this pasuk to Moshe Rabbeinu, which implies that Moshe Rabbeinu has, and again, it's all in inverted commas, Moshe Rabbeinu has somewhat stepped out of line, and he gets a rejoinder from Hashem, which is Divrei Mishpat, which is Devarim Koshim. So what has he done wrong? Comes along Rashi. And Rashi tells us that the thing which Moshe Rabbeinu has done is that he said, Lama Harioisa La'om Hazeh. So Moshe Rabbeinu, when one looks at the very, very end of the previous Sedra, there we have the very serious situation for Klal Yisrael, that Paro has increased the workload of Klal Yisrael by not providing any more cash, and Moshe Rabbeinu hears about this and he accepts the criticism clammy soil that they've got now, a much harder job than they had before Moshe attempted to intercede with Pharaoh. Right? And Moshe therefore says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right, since I came to power, things have got worse. Lama hayosa, lama ze, lama ze shalachtoni. But Moshe Rabbeinu complains to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that lama hayosa, lama ze, the net result of involving me in sending me to Pharaoh and the Shlichus has been that things have become worse for Klal Yisrael. The second part of the Pasuk, Vayomer Elav Ani Hashem, says Rashi in an answer to a different question that Moshe Rabbeinu said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, lama ze shalachtoni. Moshe Rabbeinu Be'emet had two questions which he asked to Hashem. First one was, Lama Hariyosa Lama Zeh, why have you done bad to these people? Why are things worse than before I got involved? And secondly, Lama Zeh Shlachtoni, for what purpose have you sent me? Why have you sent me on this mission, which is a mission which apparently is going nowhere? And on that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives an answer. This is how Rashi learns. That on that particular taina that Moshe Rabbeinu said, Lama Zeh Shlachtoni, Hashem gives an answer. And what does he say to him? He says to him, this is the answer in the Pasuk, Vayomer Elav Ani Hashem. Says Rashi, this is an answer to the question, what's the answer? Hashem says to him, my name is Hashem. Hashem means Ne'emon L'Shalem Socha, that I am trustworthy, you can have faith in me, that I will always ensure that reward is at the end given to those who are patient enough to wait for it. And says Rashi continues, Lo'ila Kilom Shalakticha. You asked me, why did I send you? I didn't send you for nothing, in vain. I sent you to purpose of fulfilling the promises which are made to Avos HaRishonim. It's an interesting expression, by the way. Avos HaRishonim. Who are the Avos HaRishonim? As far as we're concerned, we only have three Avos. Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Why does Rashi refer to them as Avos HaRishonim? Maybe we'll come back to that if we have a little bit of time. I think the Mepharshim did speak about it. It's an interesting notion. But the moment expected that the time of Borai to fulfill my words to Dibati La Abayis, which I sent to the Abayis. It's actually more than Abayis very shiny. That's therefore how Rashi learns this particular pasuk. That Vayadam Elakim al Moshe is a taina of Moshe Rabbeinu, a complaint against Moshe Rabbeinu for having said Lama Hariyos and Lama Zeh. And that Hashem doesn't really answer, doesn't deal with it. And Vayomer Elav Ani Hashem is an answer to the second taina of Moshe Rabbeinu of Lama Zeh Shalachtoni. What was the purpose of my mission? Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, no, there will be a purpose. It may look grim at the moment, but Lo Lechenem Shalachticha, I didn't send you in vain. I sent you for a purpose, and that purpose will unfold, and the way it will unfold will be that there will be a kiyum, there will be a fulfillment of the promise which I made to Avos HaRishonim. So there are two questions, really, which we ought to be asking on the Mahalach of Rashi. First of all, there isn't a response to the first question of Moshe. Moshe said, Lama Hariyos, Lama Zeh, why have you made things worse for these people? And that the Pasuk doesn't answer. That Hashem doesn't relate to. Hashem relates to it only, says Rashi, by saying, Vayadav Elokim, by speaking in his Elokim mode, and speaking Vayadav, speaking Lashon Mishpat, but an answer to the question of Lama Hariyos, Lama Zeh, according to the way Rashi learns the parasha, there isn't an answer to that question, or at least not an answer which Rashi relates. Second question, why did you send me? There Hashem says, be patient, Ani Hashem. If you've got a little bit of emunah, you've got a little bit of a bitokan, you'll wait, you'll see that Hashem is always the person who makes promises, is always the being that makes promises and fulfills those promises. That's a very hard thing to say, that Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu. Hashem is saying to Moshe Rabbeinu, you think I sent you for nothing? Is it possible that Moshe Rabbeinu had such a habamina that he was sent lechinam for nothing? Hashem says to him, Lo lechinam shlachticha. It's not like you think that your mission is for no purpose, it's in vain. To say about Moshe Rabbeinu that he thought that he had a shlichus from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which was lechinam, which was a joke, which was for no purpose, which was for no tachlis, very, very difficult to think even that that could have been a habamina of Moshe Rabbeinu, that Hashem should have to correct him and say, Lo lechinam shlachticha. These are questions which one could ask of. So I'd like to share with you, in the time available, a Mahalach, which is brought in Eitzot HaTorah, which is a Likud Sefer, but the Emes Rebbeinu Bakai, as we'll see in a moment, Rebbeinu Bakai goes along a very, very similar death. And the Eitzot HaTorah says like this, that the word which Moshe Rabbeinu would use was the Lama Hariyosa La'om Hazeh. Right, how do we translate this? Lama Hariyosa, why have you done bad? Why have you done evil La'om Hazer, to this people. Says the Yitzhak Sakhaim, what Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, and again, I say it with a caveat, talk about Moshe Rabbeinu, and therefore everything has to be taken mamash very, very carefully when we offer criticism. But that's the way that Yitzhak Sakhaim explains it, that Kadosh Baruch Hu, we know, is called Mamda Ovid, Rahmana Matav Ovid. Everything which a Kadosh Baruch Hu does is for good. And therefore, for Moshe Rabbeinu to suggest, Lama Havi Oisol La'om Hazer, why have you done bad to this people? Right, it's not the detail which is wrong, but it's the use of the word Ra. It's not so much that Moshe is coming to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and saying things seem to be bad for the people, things are going bad for the people, but to turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say, Hare Oisol, you have done bad to Klal Yisrael. To say things are bad for Klal Yisrael, maybe that's acceptable. But to call and to accuse HaKadosh Baruch Hu of doing Ra, of doing something which is bad, that goes against what Chazal tells us, and that's the Taina on Moshe Rabbeinu when he used these words. We know that there is no such thing. That Kodesh Baruch is Kula Taiv, and that everything which a Kodesh Baruch Hu does is good, and therefore the use of the word Hariyosa is very, very inappropriate for Moshe Rabbeinu to have used. Elaborates the Yitzhak HaTorah that not only was Moshe Rabbeinu saying you've done a Ra, but it's unfair. It's not right. Right, the people, La'om Hazer, this people, it's very difficult for us to picture exactly what Klal Yisrael were like in Israel. We get very, very mixed messages from Chazal of exactly what they were like. Right, we hear wonderful things about Klal Yisrael. Right, L'shinuetz L'shoinam, they spoke Yiddish, they wore Malbushim, picture on the wall there with the Shlamel and with the Bekisher. Right, they looked like Eden, and they spoke like Eden, and they tasted like Eden, and they ate like Eden, they had fish, and they paper, it was Kinnam, all on the books, right, or off the books, whatever, right, we get very mixed messages, right, we hear about the Noshim Tzitzchoniyot, we hear that the women were very righteous and discussed Noshim Tzitzchoniyot, Migalum in Mitzrayim, right, we know that there were very different things which went on in Mitzrayim of Chesed between Klal Yisrael, and that with one exception, they were very careful about how they spoke about each other, right, they were really a very innocent people. On the other hand, we do have the other side, and one has to know how to weigh up the four-fifth words to come out of the Mitzrayim, right, and the Memtesh Shaitumah. These things need looking at carefully, to how to balance them. But basically speaking, we had a people who had been exposed to the Kura Bazel of Mitzrayim, to the Tumah of Mitzrayim, who were very, very ill-equipped. They didn't even have a Torah yet to combat it. And Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, Hare Oysa La'omah there, people like this, people with so many good qualities who are innocent, who don't deserve it, there's nothing which has made it correct that they should be enslaved in this way, before it. And Hari Oysalam has given them bad, given them terrible things to this people. That's what Rabbeinu Bakai says to Shem Rabbeinu Kananel, right? But he was also, that's the question which Moshe Rabbeinu was disturbed about, that he was troubled about the twofold situation which had developed in Mitzrayim. He was troubled about the fact that the wicked Egyptians were being matzliach, they were being successful in their plot to decimate Klal Yisrael and to punish Klal Yisrael and to totally take away any morale which Klal Yisrael may have had. And he was worried about the other side of the coin, the terrible fate which had befallen Klal Yisrael. So that's a dilemma which Moshe Rabbeinu felt was not fair, to be honest, not fair. Omar there, a poor people, a desperate people, an innocent people, and Hari Oisov, you've done bad for them. And on the other side of the coin, the Mitzrayim, the wicked Mitzrayim, right, who are doing this out of pure issues, they have no reason, on the contrary, they should have been Makat Tayva forever to Yosef and his descendants, and they were subjugating Klal Yisrael. What do we call that problem? We call that problem Tzadik, the Ra'alai, the Rosho, the Tayva. That's how we normally refer to this problem, and that's the problem which Moshe Rabbeinu expresses here. The things don't appear to be fair. Tzadik, the Ra'alai, he's suffering, he has bad things happen to him. And Rosho, you can have an evil person, a wicked person, but Tayva and things seem to go very, very well. And that was Moshe Rabbeinu's question. If that's a question which for Emmas has troubled thinkers and philosophers and thinkers for many, many, many centuries, for all the centuries, why it should be? Why is that? And I'd like to share with you a very interesting four very quick stories, which have been in this in Gorn brings down in his papers. I don't know whether this is mentioned anywhere else, I don't know, I should be able to say it is in Shastra, it's not in Shastra, But don't walk the shame of any missing God. I presume, therefore, that it's not in charter. And if it is, then please enlighten us. He brings the following might of it. No one less than the Yeshua ben Levi, as HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to the Levi, was able to speak HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this is the question which he asked in the very same question which Moshe Rabbeinu expresses very dramatically and very graphically and very pointedly to Hashem of Loma Hariosa La'am Hazer. Yeshua ben Levi asked it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how could it be? The world just does not seem to be a fair place. That he can suffer and the Shoah prosper. How can that be? The HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to him, you can spend a day with Eliyahu HaNavi. Spend the day with Eliyahu HaNavi, he's my shliach into the world. He carries out missions on my behalf. See what you see. See what develops. So he met up with Eliyahu HaNavi, and to the lady, he was able to X-E-L-Y-O-H-U. Right? Eliyahu HaNavi appears in modern parlance. Right? And there he is. And Eliyahu HaNavi says, right, I'm prepared, but with one condition. There's no questions asked. So what would I do? You travel with me? No, that's not the question. So Eliyahu HaNavi takes him on the first place. They reach the port episode, he'll go to the very quickly because time doesn't allow to elaborate. But the first place he comes to is a very small hovel, a shanty, dwelling, just about holding up. And in the dwelling are two people who are evidently very impoverished. But nevertheless, when Eliyahu and Yeshua ben Levi walk in, they offer them unbelievable hatnotas oikim, and they share every single thing that they have with them. Mamish hatnotas oikim, as it should be, as befits a rich person. They gave them the they lost everything. And they had a cow. All they seemed to have, that's all they seemed to consist of, was from a cow. And when they were about to leave, and Yohan Novi turns to Yeshua ben Levi and says, just before we go, I want to daven. He says, excuse me, I need to daven. He says, fine, then Yohan, go ahead and daven. Then Yohan puts himself in a corner, and he davens, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but the cow should die. But Kakava doesn't take very long for the trillet of Yohan to be with him. And the cow dies. Yeshua ben Levi looks on in amazement. Just be that the poor family, they deserve everything for the way that they displayed Hatnas Zoken, and the result of their efforts is that they cow dies. But, look at the condition. No questions asked. So fine, he remains silent. They move on, and they come to the other side of the coin. They come to a home, which is a very wealthy home, where there's obviously lots of food, an opulent home, a luxurious home. And they again ask for Hatnas Zoken, and this time they're met only with anger, and the husband turns to his wife and says, I thought we barred the door to stop scavengers coming into our house. Please ensure that in future no one is able to gain entry. And his wife says, why are you so upset? Why are you so angry? He says, what do you mean, why am I so angry? You see the wall outside, that wall which protects my property, has fallen down, and now I've got the expense of building it up, and I don't want to spend money, and I don't like spending money. And they begrudgingly give them a few crumbs to eat. And again, Eliyahu HaNavi, before leaving, turns to Yeshua ben Levi and says, give me a moment, just give me a moment, I want to daven. Right? You want to daven? You want to daven. So he davens, and he davens that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please HaKadosh Baruch Hu, let the lace happen, and let the wall rebuild itself. He shouldn't have to expend any energy and any money, but Kahava, the wall is rebuilt in its pristine condition. And again, Yeshua ben Levi looks on in amazement. They then come to a town, and they come into the shul, and they see that everyone is sitting in the shul, everyone in their own place, very accommodating. You can see that this is a wealthy community. And they ask for alms, they ask, and no one is interested in writing them. No one offers them any hospitality whatsoever. Come, they make a bit of a collection, and someone gives a few kutas here and a few kutas there, and they buy them a bit of food, and they say, sit in the corner of the shul. There's a little corner in the dark, damp corner. There you can eat your food. Again, in Yeshua ben Levi, before leaving, davens, and he davens that the people in this town should all be very choshuv, and they should all become leaders, they should all become aristocrats, they should all be blessed with tremendous success of leadership. The faith again in Yeshua ben Levi is amazed, but is already getting used to being amazed. And finally, the fourth mitzvah, which Rabbeinu Nissim brings as they come to a city, which is a poor city, the other side of the coin, where there's no money, and there's nothing left, the people offer them wonderful, that's not the right, as was the case in the poor home. The two stories match up. One is two stories of poor home, two stories of two poor rich communities. And again, before leaving, Eliyahu says, I'm davening that of all the people in this town, only one of them should be blessed. There should be only one who's blessed with the powers of leadership, with the ability to lead. sure my lady can't hold himself back anymore. And he says, I need to know what's going on. Everything he's done so far is simply perplexing. And the other lad, he says, look, the deal was no questions. I have to tell you now. You ask me, fine, you ask me, I'll give you my answers, and that's the end. I'm away, and that's the end of your relationship with Eddie Arnaud. He says, nevertheless, you have to ask me. Certainly made a list of Eddie Arnaud, he says to him as follows. He says, you want to know what happened in the first home, why the cow died? He says, I saw there was a grave, and I had spoken that death was going to fall onto this house. And I saw that it was the wife, the precious wife of this man. She was the one who was going to be the target for the Malachim of it. As I damned her, had spoken that it was going to be me, so in this house, let it be on the cow. The wall, you're wondering why he built the wall? Under that wall was a tremendous pressure. I knew that if this awful, wicked person were to rebuild his wall, he'd have to dig foundations and he'd come across the treasure. That I didn't want it. He didn't deserve any treasure for the way he treated us and for the way he treated people in general. The Malachim deprived him of the opportunity to find the treasure by building the wall in action. But as far as the cities are concerned, he says, there, I don't have to tell you. So you have a city with one leader. If one person has got the power and the ability to lead, that's a city which will look up to one person and there'll be Sholem in that city. And that's why I bench that city. They should only have one person with the power to lead. A city where everyone is the president, right? Where the president of FC Seoul says, I'm the president of the brilliant president. Right? Where everyone is a president and everyone is a leader and everything one thinks it's his day which should be listened to, that's a city which will only be cursed with the greatest curse of all of that lake. Sure, maybe when he heard this, he realized that he had to now bid farewell to Eddie Arnaud, but he realized that this was the answer to his question which had been troubling him and which he posed back on his book, that we don't see the whole picture, that we see a picture, we just get a snapshot sometimes of a tzaddik or a city of tzaddikim where things are going bad, but we don't know, right, what the real purpose is, and sometimes in the bad lies the good, and in the good lies the bad. If I was to ask you a question, right, therefore shout at once. I would like to ask you a question. Which one of the Nizmayim Etilim, of the 150 Nizmayim Etilim, has possibly got the worst title of all? And a title which bears the least relationship to what it says in that Tehillah, which one would you say? Right, so one has to think a lot, right? One has to think a lot. But a book that says, in answer to that question, that Mizmay Shili Amashabati, the little study face, Mizmah Shili Yom HaShabbos, as we say a number of times in our fillers, on Shabbos, right? Mizmah Shili Yom HaShabbos, that's a title, and you can look through there, and you will not find the right name, Shabbos or Saturday or anything mentioned in it whatsoever, right? It starts Mizmah Shili Yom HaShabbos, and that's the end of it. Not the only mention of Shabbos. The book that says the way they go off, I want to share with you, it says the following. It says, the Emes, we have Shabbos Melukah, because we emulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu who had Shabbat Menuchah. Baruch Hu finished Priyas Ha'ilam, and he had Menuchah's Shabbat. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says at the very end of creation, Bayah Lekim Et Kol Asher Otah, Menei Toiv Mo'ay. Everything was perfect, everything was fine. If everything is perfect and everything is fine, one can relax and one can have Menuchah. If everything is far from perfect, and everything looks not right, very hard to rest. How can one have perfect Menuchah? The world is in turmoil, or there are things in the world which we don't understand. That is what Midrash Shili Yom HaShabbos is addressing. One looks at it, what's it talking about? Bishraya, Bishrayim, Kamei Esav. It's talking about the fact that the Bishrayim, they flourish, Kamei Esav, Esav like grass, they are teachers of the oven, all those who do iniquity, they blossom forth. Things don't seem to be fair. And the Tzadikim, on the other hand, don't flourish. And that stops our Shabbos there. How can we have a look on Shabbos? We can't emulate Hashem and saw everything was Tayyib. When we spekare, we see Tayyib for the Rishoyim, we see Ra for the Tzadikim. We don't see a world which is Tayyib, which is full of Tayyib. And the only way we can have a Shabbos, the only way we can experience the Menuchah Shabbos and emulate the Menuchah which HaKadosh Baruch Hu had, was if we can resolve that question. And that's what Midrash Shili Yom HaShabbos is coming to do. It's coming to resolve that before you can show it to the Esav, you can see to cover it on. And why? They get the rewards now, but what is the ultimate result? Bishondam Adiyad. They are the ones who will be totally destroyed. And yes, they may flourish and flutter and have a little bit of a good life in this world, but as far as eternity is concerned, it is Bishondam Adiyad. Where the tzaddik, Katoma Yitzhak. The day will come when the tzaddik himself will be the one who flourishes. Right, so that's why, this is an appropriate Tehillah for Shabbos, because it answers the age-old question, the question which Moshe Rabbeinu had of Lama Hariyos Lama Zeh. the question which Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi has to a Kadosh Baruch Hu of Chalit Veralo and Rosh and Tevlet, and the question which troubles us, and which stares us, and which stops us from saying that the world is Kalei, and therefore which inhibits our Menuchah Shabbos. If we impress upon ourselves that it's only a temporary thing and we don't see the full picture as was shown so dramatically and so graphically to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, then we can have Mizmor Shireyam Shabbos. Then we can have experience, of proper Shabbos. Let's pack it in conclusion, therefore, just return back to our original author. Moshe Rabbeinu says by Kodesh Baruch Hu, Lama Hari Oiso La'ama Zeh. Kodesh Baruch Hu, you're asking Rosha, the Tevlai, or more appropriately in this case, Tzadik, the Rala, you're asking me the question. It's not a question, Moshe Rabbeinu. Why have I done this? Why have I increased it? Why have I increased the workload? No, look at us, it's not going to be for nothing. Know what was the impact of the yeshiva being made so strong? Because I'll tell us that the Klal Yisrael were destined to have been in Mitzrayim for 400 years. They came out 190 years early, Kushi Besakeit. Why? Because the Kushi Hashiva, the level, the strictness, the force, the rigor of the service in Mitzrayim, of the subjugation which they had experienced in Mitzrayim, was so great and was so strong that it took away that it was not the kingdom. And that's the lesson which Moshe Rabbeinu, and that's the answer to which Hashem says. The Yom Elam Hashem says to him, Ani Hashem, that in the Elohim is Hashem, and that's what we know. We say that in Shema, that's one of the translations of Shema, that we see Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu, we see Rachamim and Din, but it's really Hashem Echad, it's all one Hashem, and that's what Hashem is saying to Moshe Rabbeinu, and that's the answer. According to the way we're learning it now, that's the answer in the pocket. You said, Moshe Rabbeinu, Loma Hariyosa Loma Zeh. Why are things looking bad? No, Ani Hashem. Ultimately, everything which I do is look up. You may not understand it immediately. If Yeshua ben Levi didn't understand it immediately, many haven't understood it immediately. But when the Pinom Shlachik, and you have a little bit of patience, you'll see that the very Ra, the very Hariyosa which you're complaining about, the Kushi Hashem, the things that were made so difficult, the Emes Ani Hashem, that's my Rachmanus for Klal Yisrael, that's my way of ensuring that it will come out and it will all work out, and it will all be lit up. Let me have the 55 seconds available to share with you Thursday night, the Shishi, Shikla Chassidish of Ertel, just to finish with. There's a Rashi here, which famous is not a Rashi at all. An interesting Rashi, if it is a Rashi. What am I talking about? Rashi says what you are. Because Rashi says, El Ha'avais. Just the two lines. Rashi, El Ha'avais. So, the Sitzik Chorim says, that the Emes, this isn't Rashi at all. It's all the heading of Rashi. The Pasuk says, Va'eru El Avram and Yitzchak ben Yaakov. It's a typesetter, couldn't be bothered to put El Avram and Yitzchak ben Yaakov. So he puts it in short, Va'eru El Avais and Emes, that's not even a Rashi, that's purely the heading of the Rashi. It says in Me'at Ramishlana an interesting thing. I think it's a little bit, maybe meant it with a little bit of tongue in cheek. It says there are people who look around and they think to themselves, I'm fine, I'm not such a holy father, father of the Rebbe, father of the Beis of Yeshiva, my father of the Beis of Tzadik. I'm fine. I'm fine as a child, but like that, because I'm mamash mei. Well, I come to knock if you've got a Zeda. Right, the father was the Rebbe, and the Zeda was in Adamaya, but somewhere else. Right, the Beis of Yeshiva, and I've got the demand because of course Abbas, and the father who was a Tzadik, and the Zeda who was the ultimate in Tzidkos. Right, fine, because Abbas, I'm mei, I'm there, I'm definitely in the good book of a Kodesh. I can sit back and rest on my laurels. Right? Says Rashi, says Mirabeh, so that's what Rashi's saying. Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov, but Emes, we say this in the davening, when we say Lekei Avraham, Lekei Yitzchak, but Lekei Yaakov, and we don't just say Lekei Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov, we're saying that each one of them was an Av, there were no Tzedes. Yitzchak didn't say, well, I've got a dad called Avraham, I'll be fine. Yaakov didn't say, I've got a Zeda called Avraham, and I'll be fine. They were all Avos, they were all people who developed their own personalities and developed their own abilities, and they didn't rest on the fact that they had, as a course, Avos. Just to leave you to that teacher, Shaitel Shkaya Kabbalah.